Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets Podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me and forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. Don't go down on me like that. Wait, that sounds really bad. Okay, moving on.
Move straight along there.
Where do agents' fees come from? That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, we know agents are making a lot of money.
In cash. You see them in the Mercedes, the Ferraris.
Correct. So they're just filthy rich. There's definitely no cost associated with being an agent.
No, there's not.
But maybe today we might actually demonstrate. Surprisingly, there is. Now, so why don't you take us through, what are the sort of two or three key points in today's session?
Yeah. So the key points, so you guys will try and label it in the description, so if you do want to flick straight to it, but hopefully, I know you're committed, you'll watch the whole thing through, maybe two or three times. Our first point is the breakdown of an agent's commission. Point two is be wary of agents or agencies saying that they will cover your marketing cost for free and that you don't need to pay it back at all. We'll run through the consequences of that and how that looks and could affect your end sale price.
Yep.
And point three is why there is value in choosing an agent with a higher fee, commission, performance reward.
You like to call it performance
reward. And why is that, Chris? Do you remember why?
It just sounds better.
I don't get rewarded until I perform.
So I should remember that.
Yeah, you should.
I think where today's episode's come from is, you know, sellers meet with a lot of agents as they go through the process, and quite often they make a decision, I think, based on price rather than based on a lot of other factors. And part of that is they go, wow, that's a lot of money to be paying. So for today, and actually might lead over to you now, we're actually going to break down. So a typical fee, I think we sort of said, solve about 2 million, percentage around 2%.
Yep.
Kurt's going to break us through the numbers of what that actually means and the take home for the agent in the day. And it might surprise you the size that may not afford the next Ferrari.
Yes. So where we're going to be saying the sale price is just over $2 million, you quite easy can then break it down to a million or 3 million. You can do some quick math to halve it or add up a little bit. So we're just saying,
As an example,
my performance reward is 2% and I managed to get just over $2 million for you.
Okay? Right.
Now, out of that, we'll say the performance reward, the commission was $44,000, which, Chris, does that sound like a lot of money?
I think most people would say it sounds like a lot of money. For me, the interesting part is so that's what the person's selling their house. That's the invoice they get sent for the services done. For me, I always like to say the interesting part is you're paying that out of the sale price. So it doesn't come out of your separate bank. I know this is about focusing this, but I do think as a buyer's agent, when you buy a house, you might buy for $2 million. You've then got to find the other money to pay a buyer's agent. Where this kind of comes out of the sale, it gets held in the trust.
It comes out generally of the deposit. So
typically,
instantly, the straightaway look at that. That $44,000 is actually only $40,000 because 10% GST.
Okay, yep.
Don't even say so. We're looking now at
40,000. Okay, so we lost 10% of it.
Yeah. Now, what?
You have to keep the rest, right?
Oh, you would think so as an agent. However, it costs money to run a business. And as a rule of thumb, most agencies are set up, we'll just say 50-50 split. So the business will take 50%.
Yeah.
So in this case, they're going to take 20,000 and the agent is going to take 20,000.
Yeah, so we're going to assume that in this scenario here, the agent works for an agency.
Yes.
And so the agency, as you said, gets, they split in half. So the agent gets 20,000. Maybe not for today's episode, but what sort of things would that, that just doesn't go as profit for the agency. What sort of things that gets spent on?
So general business, about 25% tax for the business tax. You got employees such as the accountants, receptionists, people that aren't actually physically bringing in commission.
Yep.
Then you've got subscriptions. So we've got our CRM system. We've got things such as RP data, which is systems that most people don't generally sign up to because they cost a lot of money.
Yep.
We've also got domain and REA. So even though the customer, the client is going to pay $2,000 to $3,000 for REA or for REA and then another $2,000 or $3,000 for domain.
For posting that advertisement.
For us to be able to get you on that front page, we have a subscription that goes up every single year.
Correct.
So that's all coming.
We love realestate.com and domain.
The
great people. They might sponsor us, so let's just be positive for a
second. Yes, we love
always up for sponsors.
It's the way it is. And also insurances. Many more. So
okay, so that's for the agency guys. We might do an episode another time though on where the agency costs go. Back to the agents. The agents themselves taking $20,000. Again, that's pretty good. Okay. They take that as profit.
So you know how I was talking about some taxes the government were taking before?
Yeah, you hinted at that. Yep.
Yeah, so there's also people just pay normal taxes. So as a rule of thumb, let's wipe off 30 cents on the dollar. So there's all that 20,000. You then lose 6,000. So you're left with 14,000.
14,000. Okay. So if a deal of 44,000, you've now taken 14,000 away.
Which maybe for a couple of weeks worth, that looks pretty good, right, Chris?
Yeah. Is there any other cost associated?
Most top agents generally will have an assistant. Now, some people may out there say, you've got an assistant, you know, you don't need one. The thing today is to be a top agent.
I like the way you just like, you don't need one. People may not know that. I actually think where people go is the assistant, I think the assumption is the agency is paying for that.
No. So maybe in the first year, if the agency is trying to bring an assistant
new talent in,
they might. But after a year or 2 years, the senior agent who's got that assistant will start to pay for them.
Yeah.
And just say, this is the only deal for that month. Minimum is about $5,000 a month. So therefore,
person's getting paid $60,000 a year on average, so they'll receive, you know, let's just say, we're just done for this example, they've paid $5,000. Okay, so from the $14,000, we're down to $9,000.
Down to $9,000. Now, one thing I didn't bring up before, Chris, is sometimes you've got two main agents that will help on a listing.
Correct.
And if they're working 50-50,
the $9,000 becomes $4,500.
Or it might be one agent helps out a bit, so maybe they just get $2,000. And so it's not to say, it's still at the end of the day for maybe 4 weeks worth of work and you earn $7,000. That still seems quite, you know, reasonable. But I think just trying to clear the air and give more understanding that a $44,000 fee or even a $60,000, or if it's a unit where it's a $1 million.
Yeah. Those numbers will change, but actually it's not as big. I think that's the thing we wanted to go through. I've got the calculations here. We prepared this earlier.
For those playing at home.
So sorry for listening in the car at your leisure, but we've got a whiteboard behind us now that breaks down all the costs. So you can see the 44 to 40 to 20 to 14 into $9,000. Now, as you're hinting at there, if you listed this property on a Monday and you sold on the Friday and you got $9,000 for that 1 week, that's pretty good.
Yep.
Right? There's what maybe unearth a little bit of what's the pre-work? So before you list a property, it doesn't just get listed straight away. How much work do you do before it gets listed?
So I'm actually going to go probably a couple of years back, even sometimes decades.
Back to the future.
We said we sold that property for just over $2 million. The negotiation skills that you've learned from an agent is from when they've started in real estate and they've started learning, crafting their skill, because that deal could have been at $1.8 million. And the agent has managed to get them up above $2
million. Yep.
So that's where some of that fee is coming from. Another part of it is we work on consignment selling, which means we don't get paid until there's the contract's been signed. Basically, it's done. So we could work on a deal for 6 months. Maybe it's a rough one-bedroom apartment. We could work on it for 5 or 6 months and maybe the person just pulls it. Or it could be a six-bedroom home and circumstances change and you've worked so hard on it, but then you don't get paid. So it's also a little bit for risk and reward for the fact that we're taking this on, not getting paid as we go, and only there's a result.
Yeah. And when there's not a result, what do you get paid?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's the thing I think that people don't quite wrap their head around sometimes is if you as a seller work with an agent, go through a process, then decide not to sell. Now, most people selling, there's a reason to sell, right? There could be mortgage stress this day in the market. Could be they want to move a family, they want to upsize or downsize. So typically they do, but there are people out there who do list their property and don't sell. The agent at the end of the day doesn't get anything for that time and effort.
And here's another thing as well, the time it takes to build up that relationship. So example, I recently sold a two-bedroom unit. And there was construction when I first started talking to my vendor, the client-to-be vendor, 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And I actually encouraged him to wait, to hold off until the construction, most of it had gone around to another part of the building. Eventually, 18 months later, we've put it on the market, we've sold, we've managed to get a better price than what we would have. But that is 18 months of
work.
For the sale price that we ended up getting. So it's not just about, sometimes you might be good in a 4-week auction campaign, you get the sale, you get the result, and it doesn't look like the agent's, you know, overall done that much. But there are lots of things going on behind the scenes. A lot of mistake people make as well. They see fantastic results happening and they think, oh, there must have been so many people on that property bidding at auction. Sometimes an agent has only got one person on that property, and even if it's a record sale price, it's because the vendor was not going to sell unless they got a certain price, and there was all these back and forths, and it could have been an extremely tough sale. So I think just opening everyone's eyes up that there's a lot more to it, the fee, the reward, the money, than
just the shiny number at the end of the day. Now, we've got up here, we've got on the board behind, it's talking about marketing costs. Why?
So this is point two. Be wary of agents and agencies that say they're going to cover your marketing costs for free. Now, I'm speaking more specifically for the Sydney market.
Yep.
Particularly, for example, the Lower North Shore, even the eastern suburbs. REA and Domain, basically, if your property's not on there, it can be tough. You're not exposing your property, but they cost anywhere between $2,000 to $3,500 if you're going to be on the front page of REA and Domain. And REA says that 75% of people don't look past the first page.
Yep.
Which is generally true. I know there are some people I know someone that's just like, no, I look all the way down the page three, but I'm like, you're not the general person.
Well, I think most would don't, because by the time I look down there, they're worried that they're only looking at listings that are null and void and just the agent hasn't updated it, or there's something significantly wrong with it.
Yeah.
Right?
So, but if you're on REA and Domain, that's at least, we'll call it 5,000 to 6,000.
Yep.
Then you've got your signboard, your photos, if you want to get videos, floor plan, copy, the DL drops. So the essential things...
DL drops?
DL, like the rectangle things that go in people's letterbox. Oh, like
a mailbox drop, okay.
Mailbox drops. And some people big on social media. I know McGrath, for example, they do a lot of social media work.
Yep. With,
and that costs money. So instantly, for a house campaign, you're probably looking at what? Somewhere, just say $8,000, between $8,000 and $10,000, yep, grand these days.
Marketing.
If you got styling in there as well, but we'll just cover the marketing.
So the agent says to you, we're going to get that for free. That sounds amazing, right?
Like, and if we're on this $2 million property that we're going to sell.
Yeah, so you're giving $8,000 marketing free. You take that across to $9,000, so the agent then makes $1,000?
Yep. And even just say, cut that in half for the associate, because just say you've got a second property on or something like that, $2,500. So round that up to $12,000. Once again, you're $8,000 off $12,000 for the profit margin. It's actually not.
So when they say they do it for free, is that a scenario? Is it, look, just being transparent, client signs up with you and says, I'm going to, you know, do, even in your not free marketing, when do they pay for the marketing? Do they pay that just when they sell, or do they get a bill from REA and Domain the day they get listed?
No. So it will go through the agency. So how my company operates,
yep.
It depends, is we are large enough, we can sometimes carry the marketing until settlement,
yep.
And we'll take it out of settlement. However, because of the cost, we're now trying to use a very reputable third party called Sales Funder,
right.
Where they'll sign up through us and we get Sales Funder in there, and to do it. Goes against the home loan or something like that. But Sales Funder will give us the agreed marketing value. So therefore, the vendor is still not out of pocket at the start.
Yep.
We're not carrying the cost and putting our company.
Because third parties.
If our entire company just say has 20 listings at $8,000, that's $160,000 we're carrying.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it gets taken out at settlement.
Right. Okay. Appreciate that. Just good to have clarity.
So, because if an agent takes on a listing covering their marketing, but they have just say two at $8,000 and they don't sell,
they're also negative now.
They're negative. And I don't know where people can find $16,000 to suddenly.
No, so as a seller, right, you hear, okay, you meet an agent, they say we're getting marketing for free. Obviously, that sounds amazing. Your advice is not going, because if you don't sell, then the agent's negative $8,000. Like, who cares about the agent in that scenario? What's the negative impact on the person selling?
So the negative impact, and trying to round this off, is the agent is more than likely going to try and do a quick fire sale.
Yeah.
Because they're taking that risk. Also, if the and this is sort of going to jump into the next point as well, which is where is it? Why is there value in choosing an agent with a higher fee? Is because if the agent is lowering their fee,
yep,
it means they've got to take on more properties, which means they've got to keep finding more and more properties to make up for.
And manage those processes.
Manage those properties. And so you're wanting to try and get those off the books. And a little secret here about the real estate industry, there's always coaching going on about how to keep trying to generate listings.
Yep.
Whereas if your folk, which sort of goes against trying to service that client. So obviously, real estate agents, you need to keep getting properties to sell because yep, that's how you make your business. But instead of trying to get 30, 50, 60 listings, which some people do, some on market, some off market, if an agency has 3 to 5, a selling agent has 3 to 5 listings to say a month.
Yep, they can be quite attentive with.
You can rock up to every open home. The agent and their associate can rock up to those open homes, two on the same time at the property. They can call back all yep, the people that come through, follow up with all the email inquiry, and they're not worrying about trying to do a quick fire sale to move on to the next property because they know they're getting fairly rewarded for their work.
Yeah, I think you quite often as a seller don't find that out. So let's say if you sign up with an agent and then you notice at the inspections that agent is not at the inspection, so it's a bit too little too late. Tip I would say to people is if you're looking at an agent to engage, look at their current listings before you sign up with them. Go to those open houses. You can just say, I'm here to see the properties you're currently selling. But if you go to those open houses and that agent who you're signing up with is meant to be at that listing, but physically isn't there, maybe they're managing 10, 12 listings, so good for them. But like I said, the juggling process and actually seeing it carefully through, that could be a good sign, or that could start to tell you, okay, this may not be the right agent because they're not actually going to be at my listings. They might verbalize they are, but I can see that they're not at listings for other properties that they're meant to be for.
Yeah. No, I think
long-winded way about going about it, yeah.
No, I think that's a very fair point. And how also I think people should judge, and this is one thing I try and do in a pitching presentation when I'm pitching for business, is I generally try and cover the commission, the performance reward straight away.
Yep.
Because for me, I'm proud of the fee I charge because I feel that's where my value is. Whereas if an agent is holding off on fee, they could be a good agent, but they're also worried they're going to be cut down and they might try and lower the fee, trying to judge yep, where other agents' fees are at. For yep, me,
and then make a judgment adjustment on that. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's sort of, I think, just trying to open the world up that if you do see agents rolling around with nice cars and nice suits, they could have also worked hard because if just say they've yep, had some really good deals, they've got the best price. So we're not saying all agents are bad or,
no.
But just be wary that I wouldn't be judging purely on if an agent is cutting their fee and also what actually goes into how much does the agent generally receive.
Yep. At the end of the day, as we sort of said there.
I believe you were at a conference the other day with a company and you actually got to see that a lot of, on average, companies in the sales department
yep,
are actually running at a loss.
Yeah, I did. I was happy to go along to a conference where they shared data from various agencies all pulled together. And it was interesting to see that the property management, so the rent roll, the tenant sort of side of things, landlord, was profitable. Not a surprise. We've seen rental prices go up significantly in the last 2 or 3 years, and we've seen those go up. But on average, most sales businesses are actually drawing a loss.
Yep.
Not significant to the point of going out of business, but interesting. And then the conversation came back to why is that? Well, their fees are lower. They're managing too many processes at once. The overall listing volume last year was down from the previous years. That had an impact. But the good agencies that I was speaking to that bucked that trend actually had an okay number of listings, but the percentage of what they worked on was higher. So they end up, easy equation. They had similar listing numbers, but a higher percentage. They made more money and they weren't scrambling.
Yeah. And also a little caveat, just say you sometimes occasionally we do give, I might give a little bit of a discount on my performance reward if it's been a property management and they've been loyal to us for 10, 15, 20 years. And it's like, okay, we do want to reward people that have been loyal yep, to us.
I was actually going to argue now, three quick questions we get onto later on. I actually had that, I actually removed it, but I was going to actually ask you, is there a scenario where property management you might be more favorable, or if they've sold one, and then they've come back and sold a second property or third property with you. You know, is there an opportunity there to potentially not do it for nothing?
Sometimes I think we
should
be
the opposite. I think sometimes you should charge more because you're like, well, I did such a good job. You want to use me again? You can see the value. You should actually paying a premium.
We've had where people actually want to pay more because they're so happy with your service.
Yeah, wow.
So we have had that happen.
Yeah, beautiful
as well. So just because an agent does drop, maybe for example, their fee is 2.05, and someone asks, "Oh, can you do it for 2.0 or just flat 2?
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, so it's about that negotiation thing. Sometimes it's like, okay, maybe a little bit, but when agents have to drop it from 2% to 1.5 to 1%, which is ridiculous. How are they going to protect your fee when it comes to the hard negotiation?
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that little bit in there just so people aren't suddenly, like, suddenly stuck on the point if an agent goes from 2.4% to 2%. Yeah.
I guess it shouldn't surprise you. If an agent really does go very, very low in terms of their fee level, lo and behold, when you come to get an offer, they may also be encouraging you to accept a very low offer. And even if that is the best offer out there, you'll definitely have a taste in your mouth going, well, is that the best one, or am I getting that because the agent is somebody who's working at a lower fee rate overall.
Yeah. So I think that's a good roundup there.
I like it. Let's head to our three quick cues.
So, I believe I'm starting on this, Chris.
Kick us off. So give us the framework and start me off with the first question.
The framework. Have you ever tried to negotiate when you've been selling a house on an agent's fee?
What do you mean? Say it again.
So have you ever tried to get an agent's fee lower when selling a home?
For myself?
Yes, for yourself.
No. And actually, put a caveat. I actually put an incentive. So I actually said if I sell above a certain level, the percentage went up to try and incent. That was my way. I don't think that was actually probably the best way. That was a bit still not as expertise as what I am now. But yeah, that's something I did. What is the longest time from when you've listed a property to sell a property?
8 months.
8 months, okay. Appreciate that.
My most recent one was 5 months.
Yeah, that's okay.
Look,
I don't think it's a bad thing because in the end, you've still got the vendor happy at the end of the day, right? So whether it took you 5 months or 8 months, the only way you've been able to get that sold is the vendor and the buyer were happy to exchange at that level.
Yep. Here's an idea, speaking to someone who's
potentially... Is this a question or you're just going, okay?
No. This is a question and I'm going to try and frame it as best I can. Do you think it would be a good idea for a potential seller to tell the agents that are pitching for business that you'll charge them, every agent is 2%. Show your worth in another way.
I don't mind that as a concept. I guess the only thing would be, what if one of the agents typically charges more than that, then they're feeling like they're stepping down.
Nope.
But I know what you're saying, you're sort of leveling the playing field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just basing that off on, and I'm sort of explaining that the agent's fees used to be set at 2.2% and then they changed it to try and create market, but now people are just crushing their fees just to be business. So
yep.
You might be like, okay, 2.5%. Because imagine you said to every agent, and I know someone's going to do this, the next time they sell their home, they're charging the agent 4 or 5%, and it's going to tell everyone, so it's above what everyone would usually pay, and it's just like, prove us otherwise how you would...
Prove us why, you know, you're all going to get the same level, 4 or 5% that example, why we're picking you. So, interesting. If you were a real estate agent, but you decided you're not going to be practicing in New South Wales any longer,
ooh,
which state or capital city would you be jettisoning into to apply your trade?
Can I tell you which ones I wouldn't?
No. One of the ones you would, just the one.
South Australia,
Adelaide. Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Is it my question?
Yeah.
Ooh. Chocolate or vanilla milkshake?
Chocolate.
I thought that might have been a difficult one.
No. Chocolate. All day, every day. All right. I am going to ask about, I mentioned the elephant in the room the other week with when we had Belinda here, the valuer.
Yep.
Elephant in the room, this shirt of yours, it's a little flamboyant. It's a bit out there. We've deliberately not said anything. Why, where, how has this come to be in your possession?
So my dad recently went on a golfing holiday. My dad won golfing holiday a year, and he always brings back some gifts, and he gave us some options of some golf shirts.
Right.
I don't play golf. yeah, don't play golf. But I was like, so I thought I needed to wear it. The thing is, though, he went to Vietnam. Have I said that correct?
You have said that correct.
I've been saying Vietnam or
Vietnam.
And because Dad for the past 4 weeks has just been saying
Vietnam,
incorrect, Vietnam. And my brain is struggling to work out how to correctly say it.
No, so, that's okay. That's good.
So that's, and I wanted to pay respect to the gift.
No, appreciate it. We love it.
Had some compliments on it, but I don't know if there are truthful comments.
No, it looks amazing. It looks amazing. We're very proud. I'm going to shut that down. All right. That brings us to the end of today's episode.
Yep. Before we conclude, thank you. If you've stayed to the very end, you guys are absolute legends. Amazing. Thank you so much. Please share, even just tell one friend, one family member, if you think it will help.
Thank you for dropping by.
Have a lovely week.